Hana.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Are you the only one on?
Well, I guess so. I didn't hear anything, and you answered me as soon as I came on, so.
Malta.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Are we we need to do 286, correct?
Yes.
Okay. L'shem Yehud Kutcha Berichu Ishkin Tebit Kiluurkimu Kiluurkimu Leakta L'shem Yud He Babache Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananeh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kananehu. Verse 286. Alma Wehu Al Bemao Desatim Divar Nash Uli Star Semala Beit Ivya Atra Dechaye Bistar Yamina Darvaihu Azle Imeya Divarnash Imadiok Muha. The serpent is death in the world because it enticed Eve with the tree of knowledge and thus brought death to the world. It penetrates the closed intestine of man, the appendix, which is to the left, from which it draws sustenance. Another serpent, which brings life, is located in the right side, which is the good inclination, the one that brings life to man. Both sides, the good and evil inclinations, accompany man, as has already been explained. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I'm wondering about the appendix. Are they saying that that's where the evil inclination is?
They're saying that is one of... Well, they're saying, we read the words, it penetrates the closed intestine of man, the appendix. Well, the intestine is open at the top with the mouth and open at the bottom with the backside. So what is the closed part is the appendix. And the fact that it's closed, the evil inclination is penetrating. It has to live somewhere within the body.
Okay, I remember a time I was in high school and I was very, very sick. And I remember the doctor came to our house. And of course, Lake Charles at that time was a small town. And somehow I got over what I had, but it definitely was in the abdominal area. And then when I was 40 and had a hysterectomy, my gynecologist told me that it was actually an added blessing that I had the hysterectomy because it looked like at one time my appendix had ruptured and was about to do it again. And so that's why the appendix stuck out to me. So what happens when the appendix has been removed from the body? Or is this just a metaphor to help you understand the good and the evil inclination?
It's a metaphor. First off, we don't know if the word appendix is a proper translation of whatever the Aramaic is.
Oh, okay.
And secondly, in other verb. verbal teachings I received from one of my teachers. The appendix is the organ in the body, or organ in the digestive system, that acts as binding by striking. And so when it is removed, it's an indication that you need to use additional binding by striking other than what's built in.
Okay.
There's only one organ in the body that does not have built-in binding by striking, and that's our hair. That's why men wear a kippah. It's why women need to cover their hair after they're married, because the energy they're receiving from their husband would be too much for the vessel. Because they would also be receiving from the universe generally, as an unmarried woman does. But it's really, this verse is just essentially just describing the idea that there's these two serpents living within the body. One is a negative serpent and one is a positive. And those are the good inclination and the evil inclination. And there's a midrash that says that had Adam not sinned, each time a human child would have been born, there would have been two serpents born with them, and those serpents would not be crawling. They would have been, you know, humanoid. They would have been walking on two legs and having two arms. And those two serpents would have been their servants, each person's servant.
Hmm.
And they would have assisted man in his work.
Okay, I've never heard that one. This is a visual image, you know, with the evil inclination. I don't think I had a picture.
You had a picture of the evil inclination?
Not within a person or your own person. You know, I always took it, you know, to mean, I don't know what I took it to mean. Just, I guess, in my own thought process of, is this the right way or is this the wrong way, you know, or but actually having a picture of the serpent, two serpents. I mean, we've heard the adage about the dogs, that you have two dogs within you, but I don't think I had that picture of a serpent, so.
Okay.
And then sometimes these are good, like the picture you had of the goat this past week on your Sunday weekly that you sent out.
Yes.
I mean, just to see how ugly that thing was enough to make you think twice. Maybe because I'm more visual and I have a tendency to see a picture and then have to put words to my picture. And so I guess when I see a picture like that, it... I don't know, I think it helps you. I think it helps your imagination to say, oh, I'm staying away from this. That serpent is about to strike and step on him.
I understand. You just have to... people learn differently. So some people learn visually, as you do, and some people learn orally.
Mm-hmm.
Some people learn both ways. You know, they need both ways to learn. Some people learn tactily, you know, they need to touch something. But the important thing to realize is while it helps you to learn, it also limits you to learn. And in that sense, ask yourself why you never perceived the picture in your mind of the serpents when you talk about the inclinations. I'm not criticizing it. I'm just mentioning
I think I probably can answer that. It's probably because of the story I've told the children many times, you know, about the two angels that follow you on Shabbat. And if everything is prepared, the good angel gets to say amen, you know. And that's probably why from having told that story so many times that I guess maybe I thought of two angels. And, you know, the counterfeit always looks like the real thing. And well, so I just didn't have something didn't come into my picture story. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Oh, and then, you know, the other way is to realize that while you're picturing an angel, a demon is also an angel.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't perceive it that way. So let's go on to verse 287. Mikha chayat hasadeh deha kol she'ar. Kawandikakla layat beho hakim Leavashak pechai begin Dehihu zuhama Kizahava vavleman Deit meshech avpareya. I'm sorry, I lost my place. Lita ta benachet leminda bekolma. Dilta ta kima benachet ake it meshach reutea. Piarcho avat raihu ad matin. Behavia, behamote utea, be almad vishato, or ho batar, dakidain kam be eat meshe, ihu avat raihu, be adam be eat tea, be at dat bak. Beho begarem, beho mota uchol dare, diato avatreya, admato Yisrael, betura desinai, la pasak zuchama, pileya me alma, beha itmar. Than all the beasts of the field. We learn from these words that of all the beasts of the field, the klipot, there is none that causes harm as the serpent does, because he is the dross of gold. Woe to him, alluding to Adam, who was seduced by the serpent. He brought death upon himself and all who came after him. All of this has been explained already. Adam was drawn downward after the serpent. He went down to learn of all that is below. As he went down for the purpose of drawing light from above downwards, his desires and his ways were drawn after the klipot. This drawing downward of the light of union is the secret of the prohibition of the tree of knowledge. Since he intended to draw the light downward, he cleaved immediately to the klipot, even though he had not yet actually drawn any light. They went down to the serpent and saw the desire of the world, and his ways were swayed to this place of malchut, which is the secret of eating of the tree of knowledge. Then the serpent was drawn after Adam and his wife. It cleaved unto them with its filth, bringing death to them and all subsequent generations. Its venom did not cease to exist in the world until Israel stood at Mount Sinai, and this has already been stated. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Was it not explaining what happened when they ate from the tree and they fell into the clipboard?
No, what it's really saying is Adam, due to his curiosity, and I'm adding the idea of Adam's curiosity, came down from Zeron Pin, where he was created, to the physical world of Malchut. And as he came down, he was potentially, he wanted to draw the light down into the physical world, which he knew was the role of mankind, to draw the light from the upper worlds to the lower worlds, cleanse the lower worlds, and make it a home for God in the physicality. Since he knew that was his task, he came down. And when he came down, he immediately cleaved with the Klipot, because the Klipot was the, of all the beasts, of all of the different Klipot that had been created, Adam was cleaved to the serpent, because he was the craftiest of the beasts. And then the beast, the serpent, followed Adam back up into Zeron Pin. If Adam had not gone down before he was ready, meaning before Shabbat, when the physicality would have elevated to Zeron Pin automatically, if Adam had not gone down, the snake would never have gotten to Zeron Pin on its own. And so the eating of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, was based or is the metaphor for participating in the physical world, but only after it's unified with the spiritual level of Zeron Pin, which takes place on Shabbat. So Adam and Eve were created on Friday, as we know, and had they waited the 6 hours till the physicality had elevated to Zeron Pin, then there would never have been the prohibition against eating the tree of knowledge, good and evil, because the prohibition is that you can't deal with the pleasures of the physical world unless you are connected with Zeron Pin, unless there is unity between Zeron Pin and Malchut. Otherwise, the pleasures of the physical world are the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Some is good, some is not. Mm-hmm. Depends on the times, depends on the cycles, all of these other criteria. That's what the verse is telling us.
Hanok.
Yes, Martha.
So basically, this is kind of the same as a message in a ruach entering into the body to go up into Zeron Pin. So is that what the serpent did? He was waiting for that opportunity to be able to go into Zeron Pin. He knew that if he could get Adam down, yes, then he would have the opportunity to enter.
He needed the pathway. He could not get to right. Zeron Pin without a human being able to allow him to.
Okay. Wow. Okay. And can you explain again? What do you mean that they ate? They didn't really have digestive system, Adam and Eve. So. What does that mean, they ate of the tree of good and evil?
Eating is a metaphor for injecting something into you, into your consciousness, into your body. It's strictly a metaphor. They didn't have a digestive system because they didn't need a digestive system. All of the energy that they received came through their skin. And their skin was not skin that we have today. It was the skin of our nails. The same,
right.
There's a word that starts with a K. I forget what it is.
Keratin or something like keratin?
Keratin. So their skin was basically translucent. It received light through the skin, all parts of their body, and they were naked, so there was no limitation on that.
So basically the serpent, it was actually a soul, right? A living soul, because he is an angel of some sort. So he was a living soul that injected himself at Malkut into Adam so that he could rise up to their own pen.
Correct.
Okay.
But he went up to Zeron Pin for the purpose of causing death to come into the world, because that is the biggest impurity. So a klipa is a soul that cannot take the light. Meaning, a human being can take light into themselves, and they receive pleasure in that process. The klipot are so impure that light that goes into them is painful; it burns. So they know that the warmth of the light attracts them, just like a moth, but they can't. The moth can't fly into the flame. It'll burn. So that's the essence of the klipot. The klipot receives the light, but it can't get that close. It can't take the light into itself. So it surrounds the light completely, thereby taking all of that energy and stopping anything else from receiving it. And that's what's wrong with the klipot. That's selfishness. And the serpent, by causing Adam to take it back up to Zeron Pin, essentially brought selfishness into the human species. And that's what the metaphor of eating from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, is all about.
Shem made good and evil. So that was part of mankind's free will,
ultimately,
basically.
Ultimately, it's part of the desire to receive. You use the Kabbalistic terms. Will is a term that really, maybe you understand the definition, I don't.
Okay.
But the Kabbalists call it a desire to receive. The vessel in the endless world, included in that vessel is the desires of the klipot. Now, the Kabbalists don't want to talk about it. Because what will happen is people get attracted to, let's go after the negative system, and because it's the same as us, but it's not. The human being has gone through a cycle, many cycles, many lifetimes, where they have cleansed some of the impurity. The klipot do not cleanse. And it's up to the human being to cleanse the klipot. And the way you cleanse it is by removing bread of shame. When you remove bread of shame from yourself, what you are doing is separating between good and evil, between the right-hand column and the left-hand column energies. And as you do that, the world of mixture, which is the physical world, separates into right and left columns, right and left energies. And once all of the left column energies have been separated from the right column energies, then Hashem will come and remove the left column energies, the impurities that are not, that are needed, are no longer needed. And that's what we call Mashiach.
And no longer needed means the desire to receive the right side.
The desire to receive the left side.
The left side, okay.
And with the last two lines there, it's venom did not cease to exist in the world until Israel stood at Mount Sinai. Is that what happened when they accepted the Torah? So right and left separated. And
correct.
Death would have no longer been, but then came along the golden calf.
There's a spiritual process.
Mm-hmm.
When the Torah was given at Mount Sinai, Moses came down with it. Well, he came down and found the calf. But at when the 10 utterances were given at Mount Sinai, 49 days, you know, I'm trying to think of the cycle. At that time, the negative system, the impurity, had been separated from the... So right and left were now separate. The world was not the same, but the human senses didn't perceive that. People didn't really understand that death was out of the world unless they learned that in the teachings from Moses during the year of the plagues in Egypt, and we're not sure what he, you know, what they learned at that point, or how they grew out of the 49th gate of negativity and grew up to receive the Torah. But essentially, the klipot were removed from the world and put back at the level of potential. Now, the selfishness of wanting to have a direct connection to God, not having a direct connection to God, not wanting to do the work to be able to be connected to God like Moses had done the work, and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob had done their work. Moses was now at this epitome where he had done the work to cleanse himself, and so he could receive the light. But the people, when they thought Moses had died, their selfishness was, I don't want to have to do that work. Let somebody else be a channel between me and God. And this is the seed level for religion. And you see it today. You see it today, even in our students. If you want to know questions, you want questions answered, the only way they can truly be answered is if you study. You do the work yourself. If I give you a question, you know, many times you'll ask a question and I don't give you a complete answer.
Right. So we have to do the work.
You have to do the work yourself. Because that was the problem with the golden calf. They didn't want... Remember the Midrash. The first two mitzvot, everybody heard. Everybody received themselves. And it killed them. The souls left the body because the light was so energetic. They couldn't stay in the limitation of the body. And they didn't know how to control that. So they died, and then the angels brought their souls back into their body, into our bodies. But essentially what that meant was it was uncomfortable, it was painful, it was, nobody wants to go through an experience of dying. And then before the third one, they said to Moses, you hear what God says, and then you tell us. You be our intermediary. You do the work. We'll listen to you after you do the work for us. But Moses went to God, and God gave permission for that. Because it's part of the process. A child has to learn to stand on its own two feet. And that's what was taking place.
I have three questions.
Go ahead.
Okay. The first being, is that why Isaac was bound, or was Isaac was bound and put on the altar, is to separate the two right and left columns, because they were basically unified? So we had to accept.
They weren't unified, they were mixed. There's a difference between mixtures and unified. I'm going to use the metaphor of cooking because I don't do it well. I don't cook. But I know if you put nuts into a batch of flour, it's a mixture. Mm-hmm. The nuts don't unify with the flour. There's a difference.
Okay, so they were mixed. So
Isaac, his tikkun, Isaac was a chariot for judgment. And so when he accepted the binding from Abraham, he was saying that chesed was more important. He couldn't unify. Judgment cannot unify with chesed. They're opposites. Judgment is a limitation on chesed. Because as we know, a mother who smothers the children with love but creates a condition where they can't function in the world. Mm-hmm. Because the mother is always doing for them instead of letting them learn themselves. So Abraham representing this chesed and Isaac representing this judgment, they can be mixed together. But who's going to come out on top? There's always going to be conflict. And by Isaac accepting his binding, the mixture became closer together, and it established the rules of the universe, that kindness and goodness and chesed would be in control in this physical universe. I hope that helps.
Yes, yes. My other question is, when Moses went up to get the 10 words, his soul was removed from his body, and it kind of reminds me of when Adam and Eve went down to the physical world. They didn't wait for Shabbat to be completed because it would have automatically gone up. So is that the same scenario? The same scenario with Moses, that they did not wait?
It's not that it's the same scenario. the same scenario is for the children of Israel who wouldn't wait the extra day.
Okay.
So Adam and Eve wouldn't wait 6 hours till Shabbat.
Right.
The children of Israel wouldn't wait that extra day from the 39th to the 40th day. Again, so it's basically impatience is the curse of humanity. But the essence of what you're asking is, yes, it's similar, because Moses went up from the physical world, his physical body, and took on a different body to go into Zeran Pin, where he received the words.
So every time he went into Zeran Pin, he came into a different body. He left his physical body and went into a spiritual body.
Correct.
Because he went up several times. Okay.
He went up 3 times, actually.
Okay. So basically, he was dead or deceased out of his physical body.
That's what the people, that's what Satan showed them a picture of.
Okay.
They counted 40 days because they counted the first day as the day that he left, which wasn't a complete day because he left in the afternoon. And that was the error. They counted 40 days, counting the first day as one day, when it wasn't. So they counted 40 days, but it was actually only 39 days. And then Satan showed them all pictures of Moses' dead body lying, you know, being protected by whatever. You know, there's all kinds of midrash and pictures of that. But they saw this vision. Moses' body lifeless. Not thinking in terms that he could be in a different body. He could be in the spiritual body. Again, it's human limitation. When you see what you expect to see, if you see a body lying down who's not breathing, you think he's dead. Doesn't mean he's dead. He could be sleeping. But in our sleep, we breathe. So maybe he's getting us his oxygen energy in a different way. You know, people limit themselves. That's really the message of Kabbalah. Break out of your limitation that you have created for yourself.
So you mean Satan showed them a picture. Is that in their conscious, or they actually saw... Not all million plus people saw his body, but you mean consciously? That's what they were seeing?
Can people have the same image in their minds, in their consciousness, in their dreams?
Yes.
So that's what they saw.
Okay.
No, I think there was going to be a third question you were going to ask.
I think I did more than three, but I think I've got things. I think I'm satisfied with what you said.
Okay. So the appropriate language that I'm trying to teach people is that it's not that you're satisfied, but you're... It's sufficient for now.
Thank you. Yes, sufficient.
Anna, do you have any questions?
No, I was glad to listen. I was also thinking, too, that the Satan did that to Sarah, of portraying a picture that Isaac had died.
Yes, Satan did that to Sarah, the same thing. That's correct. She showed him being bound on the altar and the knife coming down, and then the illusion he showed that he died. And there are many midrashim with the bind of the Ekeidah, the binding, where Isaac actually does die. His soul leaves his body out of fear.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also read somewhere once upon a time that he was so close to Sarah, he was born with a female soul. And that might go along with that separation when he, you know, agreed to be bound. If right and left come separated and he got a new soul, because then he got a male soul and was ready then to take a wife. I don't know, that just came to me. So.
That's also one of the midrash, that's direct.
And I don't remember the exact, I keep going back to the Seven Prophetess workshop that we did a couple of years ago, but I know in Gematria there was some link to Sarah's 127 and Isaac, and I got the impression that she knew it was time for her to go, but I don't remember what the connection was, so I'll look that up again. Another quick poke to call out of.
The reason she there are different descriptions of why she left. One is that she knew it was time for her to go because her tikkun with both men in her life was over.
Mm-hmm.
The tikkun with Abraham was over because he went out of his comfort zone of love and kindness to kill his son and accept God's direction to kill his son, and he was willing to kill. And the Sarah's work with her son was over because he accepted the binding, and so therefore her tikkun was no longer, she had no longer tikkun to be in the world. She had completed it because they had done their actions. The other side of that is that why didn't Abraham leave? And that's because he needed to bring more children. Not through Sarah. Then the
strange part is every one of those children, I looked up their names. I think they all appear in Kaya Sarah. And I don't think there was any that they all had negative meanings.
You really need to look those up in the sense, yes, they have negative meanings, but that just means it's a vaccine against that particular attribute.
Okay.
In other words, everybody has free choice. You're given a certain personality potential. Doesn't mean you have to be that way.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it also a picture of what your tikkun is? That's what you need to work on. Negative aspect.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. And that's why we study our names to learn all of that.
Mm-hmm. It's just very good. Thank you. And thank you, Malka. I'm so glad someone else was talking for a while.
You know, sometimes I have to get things in order, you know, and think through things in order so that I can understand the light, the flow of light, you know, from channels to channels to channels. And it all has spiritual meaning in why things were done the way they were, and it's actually they're writing the Torah, basically, you know, to a certain extent. When they walk through their life, they were actually writing, you know, the Torah for us in other generations.
Correct.
Correct. And I'm realizing that. Yeah, I am realizing that they had to walk it. They had to take actions and walk through this so that they could hand it down to the generations to come.
Correct.
Mm. Wow. Do we know, Anouk? I know, I think you said that we have 365 negative aspects, I believe, if I remember, and then 248 of the positives in a earthen vessel, right? So we know
Correct.
We have 365 negative aspects that we have to correct as our tikkun. We may not know what all those are. I mean, they may not come all at once, but we know we have to work on 365 of them.
Well,
correct.
Another way of looking at that is if you have a negative mitzvah, for example, do not kill. Actually, better language, do not murder. So as you go through life, as long as you don't murder, every day that you don't murder, you are receiving, you are correcting that negative attribute within your personality and character traits.
But murder could be from evil speech, not
yes,
just physically murder. Is that correct?
Yeah, it doesn't mean just physical murder. It also means it can be murdering through evil speech. It can be murdering through not providing employment to someone that you could provide. There are many ways to kill someone.
Or embarrassing someone.
Mm-hmm. That's why the human response is to get flush in the face, to get red in the face. It's an indication of murder. Many different ways to kill someone. You kill someone's reputation. Now, even if you don't say anything, if it's not evil speech, but you make a judgment in your mind that someone's action is wrong. That's a form of killing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you've even got to get down to the thought level.
Yeah, that is correct. Eventually, but that's why there's 7,000 year period, and we're only in the second 7,000 years. There's a lot more purification that needs to take place.
And that's where reincarnation takes place. We may not finish it in our physical lifetime, but reincarnation,
We will get it done. You all have a beautiful evening.
Okay, thank you.
And
thank you.
To Kuni Zohar class in an hour and 45 minutes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Shalom.
Shalom.